Sri Swami Vidyana. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pujarini Vishesha Shunyavadi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. Chapter summary. In this chapter, the messengers from Vaikuntha explain to the Yamadutas the glories of chanting the holy name of the Lord. The Vishnu Dutas said, "Now impious acts are being performed even in an assembly of devotees, for a person who is not punishable is going to be punished in the assembly of Yamaraj. The mass of people are helpless and must depend on the government for their safety and security. But if the government takes advantage of this to harm the citizens, where will they go? We see perfectly that Ajamila should not be punished, although you are attempting to take him to Yamaraja for punishment. It was due to Ajamila's glorifying the holy name of the Supreme Lord that he was not punishable." The Vishnu Dutas explained this as follows. Simply by once chanting the holy name of Narayana, this Brahmana has become free from the reactions of the sinful life. Indeed, he has been freed not only from the sins of this life, but from the sins of many, many thousands of other lives. He has already undergone true atonement for all his sinful actions. If one atones according to the directions of the Shastras, one does not actually become free from sinful reactions. But if one chants the holy name of the Lord, even a glimpse of such chanting can immediately free one from all sins. Chanting the glories of the Lord's holy name awakens all good fortune. Therefore, there is no doubt that Ajamila, being completely free from all sinful reactions, should not be punished by Yamaraja. As they were saying this, the Vishnu Dutas released Ajamila from the ropes of the Yamadutas and left for their own abode. The Brahmana Ajamila, however, offered his respectful obeisances to the Vishnu Dutas. He could understand how fortunate he was to have chanted the holy name of Narayana at the end of his life. Indeed, he could realize the full significance of the good fortune. Having thoroughly understood the discussion between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas, he became a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He lamented very much for how very sinful he had become, and he condemned himself again and again. Finally, because of his association with the Vishnudutas, Ajamila, his original consciousness aroused, gave up everything and went to Haridwar, where he engaged in devotional service without deviation, always thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, the Vishnu Dutas went there, seated him in a golden throne and took him away to Vaikuntha Loka. In summary, although the sinful Ajamila meant to call his son the holy name of Lord Narayana, even though chanted the preliminary stage, Namavasa, was able to give him liberation. Therefore, one who chants the holy name of the Lord with faith and devotion is certainly exalted. He is protected even in his material, conditional life. Text 1. श्री भादरायणे उवाच एवं ते भगवद्दूता यमदूता अभिभाषितम्
Yamaraja is officer appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to judge
religious and irreligious principles and to punish people who are irreligious. However, if completely sinless people are punished, the entire assembly of Yamaraja is contaminated. This principle applies not only in the assembly of Yamaraja but throughout human society also. In human society, properly maintaining religious principles is the duty of the king's court or the government. Unfortunately, in this yuga, Kali Yuga, the religious principles are tampered with and the government cannot properly judge who is to be punished and who is not. It is said that in the Kali Yuga, if one cannot spend money in court, one cannot get justice. Indeed, in courts of justice, it is often found that magistrates are ripe for favorable judgments. Sometimes, religious men who preach the Krishna consciousness movement for the benefit of the entire populace are arrested and harassed by the police and courts. The Vishnu Buddhas, who are Vaishnavas, lamented for these very regrettable facts. Because of their spiritual compassion for all the fallen souls, Vaishnavas go out to preach according to the standard method of all religious principles. But unfortunately, because of the influence of Kali Yuga, Vaishnavas who have dedicated their lives to preaching the glories of the Lord are sometimes harassed and punished by courts on false charges of disturbing the peace.
उमज्ञानतिविरन्तस्य जनां जनचलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्मरपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीकरकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सागरगगनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् सावैतं सावरूपं हरिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्तराधाकान्त नमोस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि ऋषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकृतकृतौद्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे The conversation between the Yama Buddhas and the Vishnu Buddhas is happening just as a judge neutrally hears both the parties and gives judgment. One side is the arguments put forward by the Yama Buddhas. They have listed the sins Yama committed, what is the punishment that he deserves to get based on his sinful actions. They listed them all, but they missed the crucial point, what happened at the time of Javala's death. And they're trying to drag Javala away. He helplessly called out the name of his son, which happened to be Narayana. So why helplessly calling out his son Narayana? Lord Narayana in Vaikuntha, who is always listening to the devotees' calls, he has got his call center open. 24/7, 365 days, no holiday. Guru Maharaj offers prayers. He says that the Lord is always glancing, Kantayas Krishna. He is also always hearing, whether we hear our daily japa or not, the Lord hears. So, he sent his messengers, because four syllable names standard for four Vishnu-pullas came. And here we see they are going to present the arguments in favor of Ajahnanda, why he should not be punished. As the chapter summary started by discussing the theme of who is to be punished, who is not to be punished, what will happen if a person who is not to be punished gets punished? The implication is that the whole assembly, which approves of such punishment of an innocent person, becomes contaminated. Because the Yamadugas were quoting so much of the laws from the law books of the Yamadugas, they made this sin, he must be punished like this, and they are trying to establish dharma. Why punishment is required is because to create a fear in those who are committing sinful activities so that they will become purified, and those who need to be protected, they will also be protected. So that's why punishment is there. From that angle, Yamadutas are arguing, and they are trying to establish religion, dharma. Now Vishnu-pullas take their own argument and say, if you want to establish dharma, you should know actually the ultimate dharma also, which is glorification of the Lord. This is what Ajahnanda did at the right juncture. He glorified the Lord's holy name, and by that act alone, he has atoned for the entire sins that he has committed, not only in this life, but in previous lives also. Therefore, he is not to be punished. That's how they put forward their argument, and also they glorify the Lord's holy name. How even at the Navarasa stage, one gets liberated. The different stages in chanting the holy name. First is the offensive, then you move clearing, then the pure. So they put forward their argument, and they establish the fact that because Ajahnanda has chanted in a helpless way, calling out the Lord's name without offenses, so therefore he need not be punished. That's why Prabhupada writes in the chapter summary that the holy name of the Lord, anyone who chants the holy name of the Lord with faith and devotion is certainly exalted. He is protected even in this material condition life. So then this chapter begins by Sukadeva Goswami narrating this pastime to Maharaj Parikshit. That's how we saw earlier canto finished off by describing the hellish planets that melted the heart of Parikshit Maharaj, and he was worried about how will these souls who are suffering in the hell, how will they get out of the hell, and how will they get out of the suffering, and how will they get elevated. So that was the theme in which the sixth canto began. Now, here after having described the Yamadutas, now Sukadeva Goswami is going to give the other side. We will start here. As we hear Yamaduta Puchuku, we are going to hear Vishnuduta Puchuku from second verse onwards. So in the purport, in the translation to the first verse, Prabhupada explains how the servants of Lord Vishnu are expert in logic and arguments. Srila Prabhupada has lectured on these two verses, and especially from 1 to 5, and then 2 separately, 1 separately.
So he is establishing, Prabhupada is establishing the fact that God is a person. Vishnu is not alone, Krishna is not alone, he is with his devotees and his associates who are always willing to serve him and always willing to go to any place wherever the Lord wants them to go and do the service what he asks them to do. That's why the Vishnu Dutas have come. Prabhupada picks up on this word Bhagavat Duta. Because they are messengers of Bhagavan, they are called as Bhagavat Duta, the servants of Lord Vishnu. And then we have the messengers of servant of Lord Yamaraj, they are called as Yama Duta. Then Prabhupada moves on to explain how Vishnu Dutas are also expert in arguments and logic. Therefore, they are using the same argument of the Yamadutas, saying that we are going to take him to the court of Yamaraj. Yamaraj is the one who establishes Dharma. Vishnu Dutas say, oh, is it so? Okay, we are going to establish Dharma. Do you actually know what Dharma is? Do you actually know what the ultimate Dharma is? Which you seem not to be knowing and claiming yourself to be giving punishment. And what will happen if an innocent person gets punished? In the court of Yamaraj, who is the maintainer of Dharma? Do you know the implication of what you're doing? So, this is like creating a sense of guilt based on their own arguments, which the Yamadutas gave it. Thereby establishing that the fact that Yamaraj is innocent. As we saw, how did he become innocent? It is by chanting the holy name of the Lord at the time of his death. Now, in the purport to the second verse, there is a contrast being made between religion, irreligion, and then the theme of punishment is discussed. Who is to be punished, who is not to be punished. Then Prabhupada brings the context in the current society, how punishment is being given. Then he touches upon the legal system, how governments work, how court system works. Then he also touches upon the fact about how devotees who are having spiritual compassion, or what is the word, spiritual compassion for all the fallen souls. How when Vaishnavas who have spiritual compassion, when they go out and preach, how they are being harassed, arrested by those in the power. So in his lecture to these verses, Prabhupada brings out the theme of the glory of the holy name. He, out of his compassion, urges all of those who take up Krishna consciousness, they also have a responsibility. What is it? He says that, I have become Krishna conscious, I am okay, I have my deities, I have my puja, I have my own thing. That is good, but it's not good enough. He points out Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood about going out to the general mass and sharing the Krishna consciousness with them. He quotes Yare Deka Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh. Now, the general mass is not going to take up Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says, where are they going to go? They are going to go to the abode of Yamaraj. Because you have got this Krishna consciousness as a gift, you are seeing them, the general mass, going to the abode of Yamadutas. Why don't you stop? By sharing Krishna consciousness with them. Instead of trying to be an imitator doing solitary bhajan and imitating the Haridas Thakur, better you go out and preach. To whomever you meet, you tell about Krishna, share the glories of the holy name, and
thereby you prevent the general mass going to the abode of Yamaraj. And this is what Mahaprabhu wanted. Now, one may not have faith in the holy name. One may not have the strong conviction that the holy name will protect. In that case, use this pastime as an evidence to prove that even the most simple person who was pious before became impious, committed the most abominable actions. The whole list we saw in the last chapter. Even such a person, if he chants helplessly the name of the Lord, he is also delivered. So this is evidence. With this evidence, go out and preach. So Prabhupada quotes this famous Bhagavad Gita verse, Svalpam Abhyase Dharvasya. Even little unknown bhakti will save you. Therefore, take up Krishna consciousness. Now, does this mean that throughout my life, I will do whatever I like, and towards the end, like the Dhamma Lagri, I will also do my last part, make a mental note saying, time of death, chant Hare Krishna, and then keep that note, and then throughout your life, do whatever you want. So, Prabhupada says, no, that won't be possible. In his lecture, first he says, quote, whatever you are executing as bhajan, sadhan, that's all right, but it will be tested at the time of your death. Bhajan kare, sadhana kare, murti jana haya. It will be tested. Just like a parrot is standing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, but then some cat comes in, oh, oh, oh. No. Then missing. So parrot life will not help you. You must be really chanting without any offense. Then it is possibly that at the time of death you will remember. So here we see Prabhupada equally emphasizing one's own personal sadhana, strengthening oneself, getting nourished, and also having the mood of going out and sharing the message of the Lord, the holy name of the Lord, with the general mass, with the idea of Parakopar, which Mahaprabhu says, seeing them, seeing the general mass going to the abode of Yamaraj, it's not pleasant. So you go out and preach. If you don't have conviction, use this pastime. Now, having looked at this theme of gaining faith from the past time, we're going out and preaching, but there are going to be some impediments, some dangers for preachers also, as Prabhupada points out, that because of the spiritual compassion for all the fallen souls, Vaishnavas go out to preach according to the standard methods of religious principles. But unfortunately, because of the influence of Kali Yuga, Vaishnavas who have dedicated their lives to preaching the glories of the Lord are sometimes harassed and punished by courts on false charges of disturbing the peace. The chanting Hare Krishna in public disturbs their peace. They are being torn into pieces inside, and at the time of death they are going to be dragged to the court of Yamaraj. They don't realize. So to wake them up, Prabhupada says, we have to go and preach. They may consider us as a nuisance, as a disturbance. You will be verbally abused, sometimes even physically. Prabhupada has to tolerate and go on. In lecturing in this particular verse, when dealing with courts, Prabhupada makes an interesting point that if you have some wealth and you are lending it to someone and that person doesn't give the money back, so Prabhupada calls that money which is lent is not going to come back, he calls it as bad money. Money you already have, that is good money. So his advice is that don't spend good money to get that bad money. If you go to court, the moment you enter, you need to file papers, registration fees. So many fees will come, then you have to pay the lawyer, sometimes you may even have to bribe the judge to get the money which you have lent to someone else. It's not worthy fighting, using good money to get the bad money. Let go of it. So it's not worth fighting. Intelligent persons will not pursue that direction. It's gone, let me not waste money which I have, which is very good. Let me not put the good money to get the bad money. At the same time, in the Vedanta, we'll see how for protecting Krishna's property, Srila Prabhupada went to the extent of going through the same procedures that he is saying as bribing, going to the court, which he says to avoid, for protecting Krishna's property and for propagating Krishna consciousness, he went through all that. So we will touch upon two such instances. Of course, devotees will know more. One is from the case against the devotees in New York, where there is an allegation against the devotees saying that the devotees are brainwashing. And there is a whole propaganda. Then, as Prabhupada was going through the walking in Bombay, he indicated he was sensing that something is going on in New York, and he called it as a conspiracy. The morning walk, when talking to devotees, he said, conspiracy is going on. They couldn't understand what Prabhupada meant. Later, when he came back to Bombay, which he calls his office, one of his disciples, Rameshwar Prabhu, he was giving him details about what's happening in New York. And that's what Prabhupada was referring to as conspiracy. Now, during that period, when the movement initially began, people thought these people will come and they will go. But as Prabhupada said, the movement was gaining weight and people are seeing that these, they are not going to go so soon. So they must be tackled in a different way. So one of them is by creating an anti-cult movement and targeting Hare Krishna movement with the other religious movements and giving them a title called as brainwashing. And several devotees, their parents hired deprogrammers to get their sons and daughters back to their homes. It was so projected that the parents were shown in the media and the papers as if they had lost their own daughters and their past, their very near and dear ones, and they will be taken away by the Hare Krishna movement by this method of brainwashing. It has gone to that extent that the parents have to hire deprogrammers to take the brainwashing away from their own sons and daughters. Adi Keshava Swami, who was temple president, he was called to the court to defend ISKCON. And he was being charged for employing mind control to keep the devotees in the temple. Now, in this scenario, Prabhupada did not back and he gave arguments. Okay, you're claiming yourself to be parents. What is the duty of a parent? Parent means one who can take one away from the cycle of birth and death. So then he calls one of the disciples and says, hand over the verse from the Bhagavatam. Guru Nasasya, Shadu Nasasya. In the fourth, show this. You are telling yourself to be parent. What is the duty of a parent? The duty of a parent is to get one out of the cycle of birth and death. Are you doing it to your sons and daughters? If not, you are not their parents. Just as Prabhupada is saying that the Vishnu-Buddhas are expert in logic and arguments. Prabhupada himself is a messenger of the Supreme Lord. He is also showing his expertise through Shastra to prove that you don't have rain. If you have rain, then I can wash. You don't have rain. How do I prove? Because you can't differentiate between body and soul. Do you know the difference? You don't know, then you don't have brain. If you don't have brain, how can you brainwash you? We are here to give the spiritual knowledge, to give you the actual brain. So then somebody argues, take the entire books, make them read. Make the whole court and other members read and understand. So Prabhupada in the he quotes another person who brought a whole set of books in front of the judge, and then the judge and the other magistrate, they started coming, oh, you got the whole library. Yes, my lord, I brought this to teach you. You don't know law, I'm teaching you. In the same way, take all of the books, make them read, let them understand. It is as per Shastra, it is proven. And in that way, think of Krishna and fight the court case. So this action of Srila Prabhupada actually got the sympathy of many lawyers and the psychologists who were also sympathetic towards Hare Krishna movement and the ISKCON. So, Prabhupada says, Krishna wanted all these things to happen. Krishna himself became important when he killed so many demons, not simply by lying down in the lap of Mother Yashoda. When he was on the lap of Mother Yashoda, from that day he began to kill. Therefore, Krishna established that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, even Krishna was not exempted what to speak of us. Prahlad Maharaj was not exempted. As soon as you speak of God, this opposition will come. Jesus Christ was crucified. They are so kind that they have not crucified me or my men. But you have to expect all these things. Nityananda Prabhu was personally injured. Haridas Thakur was beaten in 22 bazaars. This task is like that. Now, having given the logical argument from the Shastra, Prabhupada also very affectionately deals with Adikesha Maharaj, sends more disciples to assist him. It was such a scenario that Adikesha Maharaj cannot even travel out of America, but he wanted to meet Srila Prabhupada personally and get his blessing. Because he was fighting so much that he wanted support. It is said in the Ramayana also that Lord Ram was fighting without any chariot, without any armor, without any proper chariot driver for many days. And when Rama attacked, Rama had to flee with his chariot driver. At that time, Sage Agastya appeared in front of Lord Ram and said that you are so exhausted because you're fighting without any of this. It is at this point it is good to chant the Aditya Hridaya Stotra so that you will gain the new energy and fight against Ravana. So Lord Ram took that advice and he followed the sages. Here that we see that Srila Prabhupada is giving not only philosophical arguments, but as a kind father, he is giving his disciples the spiritual strength, support with conditional men to go and help Adikeshwar Maharaj. Now, the other famous legal case below is the Jew case, where, as quoted in the Lilamsa, Mr. Yen and Mr. Li, who were trying to cheat, and at that time, Giridhar Maharaj was in Mumbai and dealing with all of this. Again, Giridhar Maharaj, the same scenario, fighting for many days, court cases, he was exhausted and he almost resigned from his post, but Srila Prabhupada asked Kanakrishna Maharaj to go to Mumbai and Bhavananda Swami at the time to go and help Giridhar. Prabhupada writes, Giridhar is finding difficulty from this letter, can you understand? So I think you have to revive your position as GBC again and look after all the business of India affairs nicely. So this is Prabhupada talking to Kanakrishna Maharaj. So to Giridhar Maharaj, Prabhupada gives a set of arguments in a letter how to defend. So the scenario is that money was paid, advance was paid to the Jew land, the ladies and devotees are moving there, but still there are a lot of issues in getting the construction done, the papers were not signed and given to them. So these are the points Prabhupada lists. So we need to understand that there was no instant communication like emails, face-to-face calls, like video, Zoom calls, nothing was there. He was all running the whole show by writing letters. At the max, there were phone calls. Still, if you look at the arguments which Prabhupada gives, he has listed almost 8 arguments. The first one is, we have fulfilled all the conditions as a purchaser. So it is said that Rupa Goswami said one has to be careful in material dealings. Here we see to the minute detail how Prabhupada was alert and expert. Why? Because he made the promise to Radharas Vihari that I will give you a temple. So here are the points that he is saying. Second point is, Mr. N has purposefully delayed with a motive to cheat us and he had done with some others in this connection. But this time he cannot cheat us because we are in possession of the land and our deity Radha Krishna is installed there. Therefore we must immediately go to the court for enforcing him to execute the conveyance immediately. Even if the court case goes for a long time, still our business there cannot be stopped. Without going to court, we cannot make any compromise with him. But I think we can arrange the full amount of 14 lakhs to get out this rascal out of the scene. But we cannot do it without going to the court, otherwise we shall become a party for breaking the purchase agreement. Therefore, we have to go to the court before making any compromise. So, the arguments which we need to give to the lawyers and the way to present how to deal and sending more strong men to help Giridhar Maharaj to secure the land and build. Why? Because Prabhupada made that promise to Radharas Vihari that I will build you a temple. And that's why the book from Maharaj was there. 30th, we see the spiritual compassion of Srila Prabhupada.
and the way he thinks, he doesn't think small, he always thinks big. And because he's thinking big and doing big things, he'll be faced with bigger problems. He encourages us and all the disciples and the grand disciples to take shelter of the holy name, along with giving all the legal arguments. In the same conversation, you will see Prabhupada asking devotees to take shelter of the holy name, think of Krishna, and continually fight. Because that is what is the way to save the fallen souls from going to the abode of Yamaraj. Having seen how Prabhupada fought those legal battles and won and built the temples, the next theme that he focuses on in his lecture is the theme of punishment. How punishment is required and how punishment is a form of purification. So he compares a person having a disease. So this diseased person has to suffer. He takes medication. Medication may not be very pleasant, but it is a part of the purification. One has to go through that purification. But this punishment has to be in accordance with the intensity of the sin that or crime that is being committed. It should be proportionate to the crime. But if it is not, then you will have implications. So Prabhupada taught us, he says, how does the devotees deal with this? The punishment is good. If you have infected some disease and when you suffer, that means you become purified from the disease. Suffering is not bad to become purified. Therefore, when a devotee suffers, he does not take it illly. He thinks that I am being purified. So then, the famous words are Tem Kampam Sudamikshamano Gunjan Devatma Kutam Vipakam Hridva Kapoor Vidatam Namaste Jivetayo Mukti Padesan Dayava. One who patiently suffers the reactions at the same time offering Hrit Vakvapu by body, mind and words, offering all respects to the Lord, certainly becomes eligible for attaining the kingdom of the Lord, just as a son inherits his wealth from his father. So in the theme of punishment, I thought of touching upon a few examples from the Bhagavatam itself. Could someone recollect any instances of punishment being offered in the Bhagavatam? Yes.
Chitta Ketu cursed by
Mother Parvati. Is that punishment? Punishment for what?
It's a curse, right?
Okay. So was there any specific punishment that was being offered in the Bhagavatam?
Shiva and Dakshya.
Shiva and Dakshya, okay.
And actually the cuts was given that those who were Brahmanas, they will lose their, because of the proudness of their knowledge, they will forget the essence of bhakti. And on the contrary, this he has also, the Nandi was there when there was the Dakshya Yuga was going on. Nandi was cursed by the Brahmana that he will be like some cuts there also given to Nandi.
So
yeah,
the Dakshya episode we see,
it was actually, that is why we see those were the Brahmins, they actually more into this Mayava philosophy and other knowledgeable philosophy, but essentially they forget the quintessential part of our bhakti, the process. So that is why they less. That is why we see to whom we marginalized for the Brahmins or those, these are those who are actually got the real bhakti, and these Brahmins actually original Brahmins, they are a little bit divided.
Thank you for that. You see that whole episode of Lord Shiva punishing Daksha for his actions of not only not calling him for the yajna, not offering oblations, but also disrespecting and provoking Mother Sita, Mother Sati to kill herself and not to stop her. So that, for all of that, Daksha got punished. In that section, Lord Shiva will distinguish and say that there are two kinds of punishment. One punishment which a person who has conquered others and treat them as slaves, that is a kind of punishment. The second is a punishment which a loving father does it for his children. And Lord Shiva will say, I don't punish them, who else will? If they want to continue on with their sinful activities, who else will stop and punish them? And he was in a position to correct them. The purification that Daksha went through that punishment, enabled him to come back to his senses, and he offered prayers to Lord Shiva, pacified him, and then later on, he got reinstated to the position of Prajapati after having done his penance. So, the position that he had, he lost, then got corrected, punished by Lord Shiva, then got back into his position as Prajapati again. We also have in the first canto itself, Ashwatthama being punished, Sanatana punished, this whole chapter is there. His punishment is a bit more, a little more complex in the sense that Bhima, Lord Krishna will tell him that he has to be killed. Yudhishthira Maharaj, Draupadi will feel that, although the same Draupadi will want him to be killed initially, because Draupadi goes and sees the ghastly scene of her own sons brutally killed while sleeping. If they had a war and then you die with a death, fighting the enemy, that's different. Here, young boys, when they were sleeping, they were slaughtered. When seeing the scene, Draupadi said, I want Ashwatthama to be killed, get him. But when she actually sees Ashwatthama, then she is a bit hesitant not to punish him. So here is where Arjuna has a dilemma. He has to execute the order, he has to pacify Draupadi and also Krishna, and that's why he does the middle ground of taking away the what's that jalpuru in the so that, it's a symbol of pride for Ashwatthama. So if that is taken off, then it's as good as killing. Now the effect of that is we expect some purification happening, but it did not happen in Ashwatthama's case. So he, out of vengeance, again he aims the Dharmastra. He doesn't know how to contract it, withdraw, then he aims at Mother Uttara. So at that time, Lord Krishna gives a curse that he has to live without association in a stinking body for so many years. I don't know until the end of this millennium, not sure of the exact details. But he has to go through that punishment and the purification. That is, this I'm quoting from Sri Gauranga Prabhu's
discussion. The Prabhupada was mentioning about how that many years of punishment and purification, after that, what does he become? The same Ashwatthama becomes, as predicted in the Bhagavatam, is he will be the next Vyasadeva. That's what I
heard.
Oh, see, Ashwatthama becomes the
next, he will be either one of the sages or become one of the, he will become as Vyasa, the next. So the purification that he is going through makes him so advanced that he takes up the an exalted role. So that must be the motive of punishment, which is purified, and depending on the intensity of the time. And you expect them to correct themselves, but sometimes it doesn't happen, then further more intense punishment is given. The other point Prabhupada was mentioning about how Lord Krishna was punishing Lord Bhishma and at the same time showing him affection, both simultaneously happening to Bhishma. Why? Because in Bhishma's case, the mistakes that he made at the level of managing the vow that he took to always protect the kingdom, poor as a king, he could have given that up and protected Mother Draupadi in the assembly. Because you made a decision in management related in relation to protecting your kingdom, the way you manage people, how you deal with people and resources, in that you made a mistake and you could have corrected yourself, you are in a position to chastise Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, you didn't. And for that, there is a punishment. For that, Krishna induced Arjuna to kill Bhishma, and Arjuna, with tears in his eyes, had to do that service. That is the punishment of God. At the same time, you see, the same Lord, he asks all the Pandavas to dress nicely. After the war is over, dress nicely, go and meet Bhishma, get advice from him. And he himself goes and stands in front of Bhishma at the time of Bhishma leaving the world. And that shows the affectionate part as to how the same Bhishma was. He is a devotee. He made some mistakes, for which the punishment was given. At the same time, the mercy is shown that at the time of death, Bhishma sings those glorious prayers, he sings that, having given up all the attachment to outside world, he focuses on Lord Krishna and he leaves the world. In this way, we see Lord Krishna is punishing at the same time being affectionate to his devotees. So I'll end there and see if there are any questions on the comments or discussion. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhupada, thank you for the lecture. So my question is, we see that
thank you,
Prabhupada.
Thank you.
Take all my attachment away from son.
Ananda was attached to his son and he got liberated. Whereas Kunti Devi is trying to remove her attachment from her. Mother Kunti is practicing devotion at a very higher level than Ajahn. Mother Kunti wants exclusive devotion to the Lord. Why does she want to remove all of that? The intention is that she can focus fully on the Lord and recover the prayer. That's how she will pray. So the whole idea of Mother Kunti praying like that is, I have seen enough of being attached to this side of the family and the other side of the family. Now all I want is exclusive devotion to you. And in that mode, she is praying so that she can exclusively focus, because she is seeing Krishna, Lord Krishna, doing various pastimes, how he was acting as if he was afraid of Mother Yashoda, not acting. He was afraid of Mother Yashoda and how Krishna was dealing with the demons and all that, and how he protected his own family, her own family. She would say that every time Vidhaya Maharaj, all the Maharajis came one after the other, one after the other. They came and they attacked us, and every time you came and protected us. I've gone through all of that, seen all of that. Now I want to exclusively dedicate my attention and my love towards you. That's why you see that attachment to family members. If, as Prabhupada writes in the 13th chapter of Gita, if family life is conducive for you to do devotion, then be in that family. If not, give it up. So here, time has come for Mother Kunti to focus exclusively on the Lord, and therefore she is asking to remove those attachments, become a part of the food. She wants her attention to go ananya, tau being diverted. Ananya Vishaya. Matir means mind. For all of that, if the attachment is there, then it's going to be affecting her exclusive devotion. Therefore,